Notice Jesus does not say deliver us from the painful, tough circumstances that we're facing, but from evil. He's not praying, get me out of the test. He's praying, keep me from evil in the test. In the midst of a test, even one that's excruciatingly painful and tough, friends, it is not the pain that can really hurt us in the end. It is evil that can destroy us.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're so glad you've joined us for this series through the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Pastor Philip, we usually spend our energy praying for an exit strategy out of the pain, but Jesus here seems more concerned about a different kind of danger. Can you give us a glimpse into this evil that is more destructive than the trial itself?
Yeah. So Jesus, you know, he's teaching us to pray and he says, you know, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he's talking about the tests of life. And there are all kinds of tests, right? We can get a pink slip and we're losing our job, or we can get a health diagnosis that's not what we hoped for. And now we have to go through a surgery and that future feels cloudy and unknown, right? And
yes.
Or there's just all kinds of tests of life that can come, right? And so often we think, well, I just want to get out of it. You know, I just want to get out from the pain. I want it to stop. I want it to end. And we just pray that way. But Jesus' prayer is praying for protection through the test from evil. Protect us from evil in the midst of the test. And because the reality is, it's not just pain that's a problem. It's the evil that can arise and corrupt and take us down. That's our real enemy. And, you know, evil is, we've got evil on the inside, right? In our flesh, because we're sinners. There's evil in the world, in the systems of the world, the culture, and there's evil personified. Satan himself and his minions who are hell-bent on our destruction. And so we've got evil everywhere. And Jesus knows that. And he knows that the tests of life can become temptations that take us down and traps that keep us stuck where we get mired in evil itself. That's our real enemy.
Wow.
And so Jesus is teaching us to fight the real foe here. And that's not just pain. It's ultimately evil itself that we need to resist in the midst of the trials of life.
Now, beloved, stay tuned after the message because Pastor Philip is going to give us some practical advice for when we fail a test. But now, let's go to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we define the enemy in both life and in prayer. This is part two of the sermon, Lead Us Not Into Temptation.
See, the test reveals the inner character of our life. It shows what we really are. It proves it out. And Jesus is teaching us to pray our way through this life that is full of tests, because they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Life is full of tests, so we expect them. Life is full of tests, and we expect them. Remember what Jesus said in John 16:33. Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Trouble's coming. According to Jesus, trouble is coming. The tests of life are coming. Don't be surprised by them. Don't let them catch you off guard. Expect them. And take heart, because Jesus has overcome the world, and in him you can overcome these things too. 1 Peter 4, verse 12, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial," that's our word, peirosmos. "Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." You see what Peter is saying? He says, look, don't be surprised when life is full of tests. It's not something strange when they come. It's normal. It's expected. You're not being singled out. By giving us this prayer, Jesus is preparing us for the reality that life's tests are an ordinary part of what it means to follow Jesus. This is so important, because I think most people are genuinely shocked and caught off guard when the tests of life hit. We tend to think, well, if I'm a pretty good person, I'll have a pretty good life, right? And then along come the tests of life, and we face pressure and disappointment and setbacks and frustrations and persecution and hardship, and it knocks us off balance. We're like, I can't believe this is happening. Why me? Why God? Why would you let this happen to me? I'm trying to serve you. Why am I going through this hard moment? And don't you see, so much of our discouragement in the trials of life comes not from the circumstances themselves, but from our shock that we're actually facing them. But the problem lies with our assumption. Do you see that? We tend to assume that good people will have relatively good lives and bad people will have relatively bad lives. But is that how the world really is? No. There are plenty of people who end up with, they're good people, but they end up with pretty lousy lives. And there's other people that are pretty lousy human beings and they end up pretty good lives. But see, friends, but if we're grounded in the scripture, we know better because we're followers of Jesus. And Jesus lived a life of perfect goodness, right? And had one of the worst lives ever. He was poor. He was homeless. He was a victim of injustice. He was crucified on the cross. And he says to you and me, come, take up your cross and follow me. The Bible normalizes hardship, suffering, and difficulties. It teaches us to expect the tests of life. It doesn't make them necessarily easier to face, but it should keep us from being so caught off guard when they do come. See, this prayer helps us calibrate reality, to remember that these tests are normal. They're expected. They're a part of what it means to live a life that is following Jesus. We are to take up our cross and follow him. Because friends, the cross is the fundamental structure of the universe. The cross is the fundamental structure of the universe. In Jesus, death leads to resurrection. A seed must fall into the ground and die if it is to live and bear much fruit. Coal is crushed under the pressure of rock in order that it might become a diamond. This is the life of the upside down kingdom. The way up is down. The way to life is through death. The way to freedom is through surrender. The way to self-fulfillment is through self-denial. The way to glory is through the cross. And so do you see, life is full of tests and we're to expect them. And so this prayer says, Father, lead us not into the tests of life. We don't want to face them unless we absolutely have to. If it's possible, let all of this pass. But if the tests must come, we aren't surprised, you see. And we pray for deliverance through the tests to the other side. So this prayer helps us calibrate reality. You see that. Secondly, it helps us define the enemy. Define the enemy. Because our greatest enemy is not pain, it's evil. Our greatest enemy is not pain, it's evil. Notice Jesus does not say deliver us from the painful, tough circumstances that we're facing, but from evil. He's not praying, get me out of the test. He's praying, keep me from evil in the test. In the midst of a test, even one that's excruciatingly painful and tough, friends, it is not the pain that can really hurt us in the end. It is evil that can destroy us. That's our greater enemy. When the test comes and the pressure mounts, it is not the test itself that is of the highest consequence. It is how we respond that makes all the difference in the world. If we respond to the pressure of the test by abiding deeply in Christ and harnessing the power of the Holy Spirit, responding in grace and courage and integrity and obedience, friends, we pass the test with flying colors. But if instead we rely on our flesh and in self-reliance respond with bitterness and selfishness and deceit and meanness and self-pity, don't you see that same test can take us down and ruin us? It's not the circumstances of the test itself that will take you down. It's the evil that can take hold of you in the test. That's the real enemy. If you're a lump of coal and you're under the rock, right? You think the rock is your biggest problem, don't you? Get this rock off of me. I don't like it. That's the solution. If you could just take the rock away, God, everything would be better. But what if that rock is making you into a diamond? It would not be loving for God to take the weight off if that very weight was making you into the person you were meant to be. See, the rock is not the ultimate problem. It's the evil that can arise in these kinds of tests and pressures. That's the real danger. Now, the phrase that Jesus prays here, deliver us from evil, it can be translated two different ways. It can be translated, deliver us from evil, or from the evil one. And it's kind of ambiguous in the text, which I suspect is purposeful on Jesus' part. Because if you think about it, evil can come from within and without. Both are dangerous. We need God's grace to deliver us from the evil that arises in us, in our own hearts, in the midst of suffering, pain, and in the trials and tests of life. And we need God's grace to deliver us from the evil one's intentions for us in this trial. And either way, we desperately need God's preserving grace to keep us safe through the trial to the other side. Amen? Because here's the reality. Sin is crouching at our door, and it seeks to devour us. And the sin of selfishness dwells deep in our hearts, and under pressure it can raise its ugly head, can't it? And Satan is like a roaring lion, prowling around seeking someone to devour. And the real danger to our souls, brothers and sisters, is not wrongful termination or getting sued or estranged relationships or bankruptcy or chronic pain or cancer or even death. The real danger to our souls is the evil that can overtake us in the tests of life. That's the real enemy. And so this prayer helps us define the enemy. To face the evil within and without, we're going to need the grace of God.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and before we start our discussion today, we just want to say a big thank you to all of you who keep this program going because of your financial gifts. Now, if you'd like to help support the work that we do, we'd love to send you a resource as our way of saying thanks. Visit livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. We're so glad you've joined us today as we explore the evil we all face in times of testing. Now, Pastor Philip, you said Jesus is intentionally not defining evil as within or without. If Satan and the world are our enemies without, and we are our own worst enemies, help us understand now, how does prayer help us in the fight?
Yeah, so Jesus kind of leaves it ambiguous, doesn't it? Deliver us from evil, but what kind of evil, right? And evil comes to us in three different ways. We've got the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they're all sources of evil that could corrupt us and take us down. And so prayer really is the weapon. That's what Jesus is giving us here. Prayer's your weapon against these foes. So, I mean, just think about it. So the fiery trial comes on you in life. You know, you're dealing with health problems or unemployment or a strained relationship, or there's something going sideways in life, and it's a pressure cooker moment. You're in the trials of life. And so Jesus is saying, deliver us from evil in that moment, right? How do we pray that? Because it could come at us from anywhere. So evil can come from our flesh. We can get irritable and selfish and mean and cantankerous, and we can you know, we can start nursing the wounds of what's going on and get bitter and just miserable. Like, so in other words, it could arise from within, from inside of us, the very evil that could take us down and corrupt us and ruin our character and cause us to run after all the wrong things in life. So it could come from on the inside. And so we got to pray. We got to pray, Holy Spirit, lead me in paths of righteousness. I want to say no to my flesh and say yes to the Spirit and follow what He wants for me and be conformed to the image of Christ as I walk by the Spirit, right? So it's, in other words, that's an internal thing that has to be going on. And prayer helps me realize what the Spirit wants in my life so I can learn to say yes to Him and no to my flesh and my selfish desires. And then, you know, the world offers all kinds of temptations, right? We could get sucked into coping through the pain of this situation by running after all the wrong things, right? You know, sex and power and addictions and, you know, all kinds of people that they get into sorrowful situations and they get an addiction out of that, right? Because that's where they're going to cope. And so the world is going to offer you all kinds of temptations to try to get through this situation. And in prayer, we're running to our Father instead. We're saying, you be my source of happiness and my strength and my portion and my comfort. And I need you and your grace to be near to me through all of this. And so that's a huge source of strength for us as well. So prayer helps us fight the temptations of the world as well. And then, of course, the devil himself, a roaring lion, going around trying to prowl and devour and destroy, right? But God's the one who's going to confront him. Jesus is the one who's defeated Satan. We can't go up against him on our own, but he has won the victory. And so we're asking him, protect us from the wiles of the devil and all of his demons and minions and all the schemes that he might have out for us. Father, would you protect us and defend us from those things? So in all of this, we're praying. We're praying our way through the test, saying, God, help me in every facet. Protect me from evil within this trial.
Now, some of our listeners may be saying, well, I know people, though, Pastor Philip, that say, well, why does God have to use test? You know, why can't he just make me holier? It's kind of like, I want to lose weight, but I don't really want to go to the gym or do anything.
Why does it have to be so hard?
Right.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting. You know, my kids, if I just give them a treat, you know, they go, oh, that's nice. But if I make them save up for it, you know, they value the result, the thing they got better because they worked for it, you know? And there's a sense in which anything worth having requires some effort. And there's a fascinating passage in Hebrews where it says that Jesus learned obedience through suffering. Now, what's interesting is he was always obedient. He was always righteous, but he had to demonstrate it on the field to have a track record of righteousness tested in real time through suffering.
Yes.
The suffering revealed his character, his obedience, who he was. And we know it's real because it was tested. And in the same way, when you and I go through really, really hard things, we discover that the righteousness that God is building us and conforming us in the image of Christ, all of that character that he's giving us through Jesus, it's like, is it real or not? But all of a sudden, when it is demonstrated on the field through suffering, through hardship, through the test, all of a sudden we see it. We're like, no, it's real.
That's right.
I'm growing in righteousness and character and truth, and I can see it in real life because it's been tested and it's coming out the other side.
That's right.
So it is harder, but it's more substantive when we go through hard things, and it gives us confidence that what God is doing in us is really happening.
You know, I got to ask you this because there are people who are saying, okay, I hear you. I understand. It refines, it strengthens, it teaches me to depend on God. But so how do I handle it if I fail the test?
Yeah, that's an honest question. I think it's important to remember the real failure would be to get stuck in failure. There's always grace.
Amen.
And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So if the test comes into our life and we fail, we fall, we slip, we go back to that thing that copes us through and we fall into our sin and our addictions again, all those things, right? That's real. The problem, the thing we've got to remember is not to stay stuck there, mm-hmm. and to come right back to grace. God knows. Mm-hmm. And all of our sins are covered on the cross. And so we come, we confess our sins, and there's fresh grace. Mm-hmm. Staying stuck is the real problem.
Now, that in theory, that sounds wonderful, but you know, you and I both know people that they go to bed in pain, stuck. Mm-hmm. They wake up, mm-hmm. stuck. They just mm-hmm. can't seem to find a way to, this thing just keeps swallowing them up spiritually. Mm-hmm. Let's encourage them.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's interesting. Some of these trials that come into our life, they're temporary. We go through the test. We get outside the other side of the test. We're like, thank goodness that's over.
Yes.
You know, but there are some tests that just come and they stay. They're not momentary. They become chronic. This one's not going away. Mm-hmm. And that can be very discouraging, to have chronic pain and to wake up and feeling like, here's the test again, and it's not going anywhere. Paul understood. Three times. Prayed, take this thorn in the flesh away. And what was God's response? My grace is sufficient for you.
Yeah.
In other words, Paul, I'm not going to actually take the test away, but my grace is going to be with you in it, mm-hmm. and through it. Mm-hmm. And I have good purposes that you don't even fully understand. Mm. That this is going to make you, it's going to give you humility in ways that you couldn't have it any other way. You're going to learn dependency on God in ways you wouldn't know. My strength is made perfect in your weakness, and so I'm actually going to hold you in the fire, not forever, because one day I'm going to take you to glory. But as far as this earth is concerned, you're going to be in the test, right? But my grace is sufficient for you. And so I think it's important when those kinds of moments come into our life that we cling to the fact that God is, he's nearer to the brokenhearted. Jesus is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The Spirit groans with us in our weakness and in the travails of the birth pangs of what God's bringing through to glorify creation and everything. Mm. It hurts now, but glory's coming. And the Spirit is with us in all of that. So we're not alone. And we can experience the fellowships of sharing in the sufferings of Jesus and know that our God is near to us and his grace really is sufficient. So when we're in those chronic moments, I think we've got to just cry out and say, God, be with me. And if I get more of you, it's going to be okay.
And amen. His grace is sufficient, beloved. You know, our pluralistic culture would have us believe that all religions are equal, treating faith like a wheel where every spoke leads to the same center. But when you're in the crucible of suffering, you need an anchor for the soul. And as our pastor Erwin Lutzer likes to say, Jesus is the only qualified savior. Now, that's why this August, as we prepare for our crucial fiscal year end on August 31st, Friends of the Ministry have stepped forward with a generous matching challenge. Every single dollar you give will be doubled, meaning a $50 gift becomes $100, and a $100 gift becomes $200. Your giving directly ensures we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to listeners in their cars, their homes, workplaces, across the country. And as our thank you, we're offering Pastor Lutzer's landmark book, Christ Among Other Gods. This resource provides the essential facts to defend Christian faith, debunk modern myths, and help you fall deeper in love with Jesus. Now, request your copy of Christ Among Other Gods, and to have your gift doubled, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. If you're going to finish well on this journey of a lifetime, we need to cling to Jesus. And next time, beloved, we'll talk about how to stay focused on Jesus, even in your test. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by the Moody Church.